Let the drama kick, the drama kick die. Let the drama kick, let the drama kick die. Let the drama kick, let the drama kick die. Let the drama kick, 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 let the drama kick.
Yo, it's the Big Three Roll Up. It's your boy Silk.
It's Kev.
And Newberg.
What's going on, fellas?
Not much, man. How was your guys' Father's Day?
It was good, man. We did the brunch thing. Actually, I took a steak because I'm stubborn like that.
You got a lot of heat for not liking breakfast food. And deservedly so.
Yeah, fuck them.
Fucking terrorists, bro.
Nah, hey, what I don't get is how come I can go to fucking McDonald's, say, all day and get breakfast. But if I want a pot roast at Cracker Barrel, I got to wait till 11 o'clock.
You got to take it over Cracker Barrel, man.
No, I already tweeted at him, bro. I thought that shit, every other thing that I need done, like Comcast, I needed that shit quick. I tweeted at him. They got this shit done. Bank of America, I needed some shit. I tweeted at him to get this shit done. Cracker Barrel don't give a fuck. I don't even think they got Wi-Fi at fucking Cracker Barrel.
I'm surprised they got a Twitter account, to be honest with you.
They might not. I just put at Cracker Barrel. I don't know if it's an official account or what.
Yeah, my shit was cool. I just chill. We chill around the house all day, man. We ain't do much. I don't like to do shit on Father's Day, man. So we just kicked it. Wife put me some gumbo. I got me some fly knit running shoes and some workout, some gym gear. That was about it, bro. Hung out.
Yeah, we just hung out. I went over there, had a steak, and just kicked it, really. I didn't really get much. I got a bathing suit. Some shit. We're going on vacation pretty soon, so she just bought me some vacation-type shit. And the kids, you know what kids do, man. They write you songs and draw a bunch of pictures and shit. Like, what do you do with all – your kids are a little bit older, but my kids draw me pictures all the time, bro. What do you do with all them?
My son's only fucking 6, bro. He does that shit still. I put him in my man cave, man. I rotate him. I put him up. He's proud of them little ugly shits, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So we got a big show tonight.
Big show, baby.
We got the freak on. The freak.
Berg, how you celebrated Father's Day, dog? Chance to get you anything?
Nah, man. I got coal in my Father's Day stockings this year.
That's just funny.
Okay, we can't gloss over that. Yeah, we got Javon the Freak Curse coming on this thing to hang out tonight. Before we get into that, man, let's just shoot the shit about some hip hop and shit, man. We have some dope albums drop. Nas dropped the project. We have some Kid Cudi action, and of course, the first family, Jay Z and Beyonce. What's your review? How you feeling?
Bro.
How you feeling?
Okay. So I'm listening to the Nas shit because I like Nas. I fuck with Nas. I didn't like Ether and shit. And I'm a big Jay Z guy, but I fuck with Nas. So I was listening to Nas shit, and then like Jay just couldn't let him have his day, bro. He gave him a day, and then he just dropped the album at 5:30 on the next day, and I haven't listened to Nas shit since.
Did he give him a whole day?
Yeah, I think he dropped it on Friday.
I don't know if it was 24 hours.
I don't think it was a whole day, man. I think Nas dropped in the morning, and I think Jay-Z dropped at like 5 p.m. that afternoon.
Bro, he's going to pay for that Jay-Z shit for the rest of his life, bro. Jay ain't never going to let that man shine.
Y'all was digging the Nas album like that?
Nah, I was listening to it. I liked a couple tracks on it.
Yeah, I got through like half of it.
Yeah, but I mean, you can tell he's outdated and shit. I mean, that's kind of the gift and the curse of having a classic album. Because I compare every album of Nas's to Illmatic and I Am and shit. And he's just had a bunch of garbage projects since then. But
I just like comparing him to the current times we in. I don't even compare them cats to their old projects no more. Because Hope, like, them cats never going to remake that, man, those albums again. They out of their prime. You know what I'm saying? But I just try to look at the landscape of what they're doing. Yeah, Nas shit just sounds like 1987 or some shit, bro.
Did you like the J?
Yeah, I thought the J album was dope. I don't know if it's a whole lot of replay quality to it. I'm a big Jay-Z fan. You know that shit. Most of his shit he dropped now is dope listens for like a good couple months or two, and then they kind of fade away like 444 did for me. But I think it's a dope project for sure. He got some bars in that bitch. He threw some shots.
Yeah, he did. Yo, what about you, Bird?
Personally, I like the Kanye and Kid Cudi the best out of all the ones that dropped. I like the Jay-Z and Beyonce, but something about the two together on that album, like they don't have as much attitude as they do just on their own. And but I like the Cudi, real nostalgic over him. I remember like 10 years ago when he first came out, like I got family in Cleveland. I got some younger cousins who were like 18, 19 at the time, and they were freaking out over him. And like, I started listening to him. I was like 25 and listened to him for like a couple years straight. And then, you know, he kind of fell off.
Dark.
Like,
yeah. Dark, bro.
Well, I didn't mind that. I kind of liked the darkness.
oh shit.
But, after like 2012, 2013, I didn't really get into anything that he came out with, but
you got a towel to listen to that shit, bro.
come on. I like Feel the Love, Kids See Ghosts. There was a lot.
No, I like his new project. I'm just saying.
The Kid Reborn.
Kind of got dark for a little bit in his little run, bro. I had to stop.
Yeah, I get
that
it.
Shit. I was taking on his depression.
I get that. And I do like Kanye. The new album, I kind of feel like it's a movie. Like, It's such a story that after you listen to it for the first time, it's like you kind of get it. And I don't know if you really need to listen to it over and over. But the fact that it's only seven songs makes you listen to it over and over.
Bro, that's the thing, too, dog. I'm getting kind of sick of these seven songs, bro. I remember coming up.
I like it.
I remember coming up, man. I had a CD case. I had a CD case with, like, fucking, you know, 80, 90, 100 CDs in that bitch. And every one of them had, like, 15 to 25. Like a No Limit record back then had like 38 songs.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And they dropped what, like three a week?
yeah, they did drop like three a week with like 14 songs on that.
Here's why I like the seven songs, because before you know it, you listen to it three times in a row and you start like really getting into it and you start like understanding each song a little bit more. Of course, like there's nothing wrong with like 18 great songs, but I do understand the whole seven songs and like, you can get on the treadmill and do your cardio and listen to that, the whole album.
I think probably that's just a business move, man.
I think
no,
so.
It is, because it gets
dreams.
When it gets to one, I mean, Kanye dropped seven songs, right? And they were all seven were the top on iTunes.
I'm being honest right with you, bro. I haven't listened to Kanye. I don't plan on listening to it, bro.
I like it.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably dope as shit, but I just can't fucking do Kanye, bro.
Kanye's like the big three roll up. It's not for everybody.
It's definitely not for everybody.
When I used to live in Orlando and I used to drive home, because Berg reminded me of this when he's talking about the doing his cardio and shit. Like, someone would ask me, like, how long does it take you to get home from there? I'd be like, it takes, like, I can listen to, like, Reasonable Doubt, The Blueprint, and then, like, half of Black Album. You know what I'm saying? I didn't know how long it took, but I knew what CDs I could go through and shit. You know what I'm saying? That's how I measured the distance.
Yeah,
that shit is not like that no more.
All right, but how about this? Like,
I go to McDonald's and shit. I get to the Kanye album.
Future's last two albums were both like what, 19, 20 songs each?
Yeah.
You didn't really get into those as much as you got into like those other the mixtapes and the shorter albums, right? The last two albums, like you there was a couple songs that stood out, but like
his last two. Album was his project thrown at us to get him out of. He had a bad record deal and shit, or whatever deal he was trying to get. He was just throwing albums out for a little minute in here. It wasn't like themed, like all the other shit, like the Purple Rain shits and the old shits. You know what I'm saying? It was just like some shit he just put through together. I didn't even like the project he did with Drake like that, to be honest with you. It just threw
I only like a couple
together.
Songs on that bitch. I mean, I'm gonna be real, but I only like a couple songs on Drake Future shit. But
yeah,
that's another one. But that's another one, Berg. What you just did is what I did to Nas. You're comparing his shit to Purple Rain and shit. Like,
no, I'm just saying the whole concept of how he makes music and mixtapes. Like the last two albums, I don't feel like he took the time out to do it. I just think he was trying to get out of a deal, pay some debt.
I kind of feel like they were throwaways too.
Yeah, they were throwaways, bro. He's more artistic than what he did the last two albums. We'll see what he's doing the new shit though.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk a little recruiting.
talking football shit.
Everybody got a recruit, right? Everybody got a recruit this weekend?
We're all recruiting this week. So before we get into it, Miami, FSU, and UF all landed a commit today. I think this is the first time that's happened outside of, like, the recruiting months. So let's just reset it real quick. Miami leads the Big Three right now in recruiting, sitting in the seventh spot with 16 total commitments. FSU's at 12 with 11 commitments, and UF's at 26 with 10 commitments. This is all according to 247 composite scores. Florida State's only going to be able to take, you know, what I'm being told is about 20. I think it's going to be a little bit higher than that, but I've been told over and over and over it's around 20. How many is Miami and UF taking?
We're taking a full class.
Yeah, Miami's got a full class coming in. Probably, I'd say 23 to 25, probably.
I'm thinking around the same numbers. Anyway, 23, 24, 25, around that number.
Okay, so UF's got about 10 or 11 commits. Miami's got about 10 or 11 commits to go. UF has about 15, and I'd say Florida State has somewhere in the 10 or 11 range as well.
Yeah, so Miami over the weekend.
The midway point on these commit lists.
Well, yeah, because motherfuckers are signed in December. So I like what we've all been doing, like what Rick's been doing, throwing these 7-on-7s to get a bunch of kids on, get them on now, because these motherfuckers are going to start making decisions sooner and sooner. Like, the big November weekends are still going to be there, but let's get them on as much as we can now, too. I mean, they grabbed up Tecori Couch over the weekend, and then today they have Jafari Harvey from Vero Beach, defensive end.
Yeah, he's a good pickup. I'll be honest with you. He's a guy that really emerged this spring, and I've had probably three or four coaches in the last, you know, 5 days reach out to me and ask me about this kid. And so he's just now starting to hit the radars of a lot of out-of-state teams.
Yeah.
So that was crucial for Miami to lock him in when they did.
Yeah. And then with Couch, man. Couch is good. I mean, he's good at the line of scrimmage. He's just, I mean, people are going to say he's small. I mean, who is he, 5'9", 5'10"? But he's good. He's like one of them guys that's really good in press, really good in man. But, I mean, he's light. I mean, that's the only thing you can say about him. But I like getting the South Florida Express kids. I mean, try to get Tyreek on campus as much as possible and get all his teammates. Get everyone he knows and get them on campus. And just see if you can scrounge up a bag that's big enough to beat Georgia. So I don't mind taking that shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, go ahead, Corey. Who did UF land today? What's going on in Gator Country?
Yeah, we landed offensive guard Riley Simmons, three-star out of Buford, Georgia. It pretty much came down to us and Virginia Tech. He was 100% crystal ball to Virginia Tech up until yesterday when I let the cat out the bag. Shit started moving around quick in DMs, and crystal balls changed pretty fast. That's what we do, man. We get shit first round here, baby. But, yeah, I think it's a good get. He can pull well. Fuente and Muller run a similar system with the spread, so they both are looking for, like, a mauler-type guy. Over the weekend, camp-wise, we had, of course, the Cali kids come on campus. The Tunau, the offensive tackle kid, ended up working out. He had a good visit, as well as Ethan Ray. And of course, Jalen Jones and Higgins all came through the weekend. Today we had Quayshawn Fuller swing by. It's been a pretty
He was in Miami for the weekend, Quayshawn Fuller.
Yeah.
Over the weekend. He's shopping around, Berg.
Yeah, he's been doing that for a while.
Hey.
No, I think.
Corey.
I think we end up landing Quayshawn Fuller. I'll go on record saying that.
That what?
That we get Quayshawn Fuller.
Okay.
I know he's not going to Florida.
What happened with the Florida coaches at USC?
What's up?
What happened with Florida coaches at USC this weekend? I thought I saw something.
It was 2 weekends ago.
Was that 2 weeks
ago? Yeah, that was the week. Actually, it was last week. It was during the week. Yeah, Bird's right. Almost 2 Saturdays ago.
Oh, okay.
Nah, they was invited out to do the USC camp. I guess before this whole steel shit was already. We was out to the same recruits. They was already invited out and committed to do that camp. So the Kyle Ford, a few other guys had popped up just to see Mullen. They didn't want to work out or talk to USC coaches. So USC board made it a big deal.
So the most interesting recruit of the day goes to Florida State.
Yeah, I'll speak about what happened today at Florida State. They had a handful of visitors on campus today, including four-star defensive end Derek Hunter. He's about 6'4", 285. Now, he said he measured in at 6'6", but I've seen him before. I think he's more about 6'4". He's the 15th ranked defensive end of the country, 205th best player overall, according to the 247 composite. It was actually his commitment was a crystal ball buster. Heading into it, he had almost 20 predictions, and 40% were to Georgia, 20% to UF, and only 10% to FSU heading into the visit. So his commitment, looking back on it, I'm not as surprised. When he left Florida State in February, he came out of the building and told me that he nearly committed. Today, after he committed, he said that he took all these visits during the summer and wanted to save one more for FSU and, you know, decided to pull the trigger while he was there. Florida State is recruiting him as a three technique, which is interesting. He won't play defensive end at Florida State. You know, he's really quick off the ball. He's strong. He met with Coach Odell today, and that was pretty telling. Coach Odell said he saw him as a three tech, attacking defensive tackle. And Hunter called that his money position. So he's going to play inside. It's interesting. It fills a big need for at defensive tackle because they pair him with nose guard True Thompson at Grayson High School. And they're going to look to add one more, possibly Tyler Davis, if they can fend off Clemson, Ohio State, Miami for Tyler Davis. So now they only need one more D tackle in this class, and I think they'll be good to go. Also want to hit real quick on the big man camp. I was up there in Tallahassee. A couple things that I saw. The highlight on defense was probably True Thompson, commitment from Grayson High School. He's camped at FSU 4 years in a row. So I've seen True Thompson progress from an eighth grader to now soon to be senior. He arrived on campus in the best shape I've seen him in. Quick off the ball. He's physical. He's a hard worker. Worked heavily with Odell Hagans. Odell really locked in on him as an eighth grader and hasn't let go since. So I think Thompson's really only scratched the surface. You see him getting in better shape. He's going to be a great player for Florida State. He's going to play that nose guard position. I liked him a lot in camp. The other guy on defense that came down from Cincinnati, or actually, remember John Drummond was on the show 2 weeks ago and said they got a transfer from Illinois?
Yeah, that Thompson. True.
His name is Trayvon Booker, and he showed up at Florida State camp with Edison High School and Uncle Luke. So Florida State didn't offer him, but they were very intrigued. They pulled him off to the side. He was one-on-one with Mark Snyder, the DN coach, and Harlan Barnett. They put him through DN drills and linebacker drills. I think he's a bit of a tweener. But Florida State's going to keep an eye on him. They like him a good bit. I just don't know if they're really going to make a move on him. The other DN, 6'4", Anthony Booker from Cincinnati, he came in, did not get offered. I think FSU sits in better position with guys like Kayvon Thibodeau, Curtis Fan, and Derek McClendon. So, but on offensive line, I'll tell you what, this kid Charles Cross came to camp from Mississippi. We currently have him as the 57th ranked offensive tackle in the country. There is no way there's 25 better offensive tackles in the country, let alone 57. So his ranking is going to change. He's going to be a four-star prospect. I fully believe that. He left campus and told us FSU leads, and that was before the offer came. The offer came about an hour after he left. Mississippi State commitment, Brandon Cunningham, he's a 6'5" offensive tackle. He was in for a second visit to FSU. Didn't camp, already has an offer in hand. So they're gonna try to flip him from Mississippi State. I like his frame. I didn't get to see him work out, though. It's just a busy week in general for Florida State. Yesterday they hosted a five-star running back, 2020 prospect from Virginia, Chris Tyree. Made his second visit to FSU this offseason. You know, we talked about Derek Hunter, who was on campus. On Friday, four-star offensive tackle Will Putnam will be in town. It's his second visit to FSU, and there could be a decision coming soon with Putnam. Four-star DN out of Georgia, Curtis Fan, will be on campus on Saturday. We saw Jadarius McKnight, who's already committed to Florida State. He was on campus today. Four-star 2020 running back Lawrence Toa-Philly out of Pinellas Park High School was on campus today. And then, of course, they have two big official visits this weekend from Washington, D.C., four-star DB Nick Cross. This is a big one for us in the show. I feel like Nick Cross is going to be deciding between UF and FSU. He visits FSU this weekend on an official. Does he have plans to take a trip to UF while he's in Florida still?
I don't, not that I know of.
Okay. And then the other official visitor that is going to be on campus this weekend is Michael Johnson Jr. And that's another one that's pretty much
that's a Miami guy. Much
Oregon's in this one, but right now heading into the visit, I would say Miami's probably the team to beat. Would you agree, Kev?
So I thought he committed the other day. That bitch,
I did too. The edit.
He dropped the edit and said, "I've been waiting for this day my whole life," and then it was just a fucking edit. I thought he committed. I thought QB won the committed.
Right.
Timeline for no reason. I was like, these boys about to celebrate. They fucking commit. I come back. It wasn't even a commit.
Nah, I even asked because I thought I missed something.
So yeah. Florida State already has a commitment from four-star Sam Howell, and they're looking to possibly add a second quarterback. I definitely think they would take Michael Johnson, of course. That's why they're bringing him in on official.
What I'm hearing is it's gonna be his parents that want him to stay on the East Coast, on the West Coast.
Well, his dad is coaching at Oregon.
Right. So, but I mean, from everything I'm hearing, that's Miami's quarterback for this class.
Right. So we'll see if things change after this official visit. But that's about it for FSU. They got a lot of action going on in the next, you know, 3, 4, 5 days. The list could grow. But right now it looks like there's two official visitors coming in this weekend. So we're going to see some action.
It's time to heat it up. It's time to heat because big camps are coming up, right? Like, all our big camps are coming up.
Yeah, man. July, dog. I mean, Friday Night Lights heavy, baby.
Yeah.
Junior on this official visit.
Yeah. Is Florida State, I think it's the same night as Miami's.
Florida State's the same night as Miami's. I love that all these camps are going to – I wish they were all on the same day. Because that would really tell us where things stand in recruiting.
Like, yeah, me too.
I know I saw a lot of fans kind of complaining that these camps, there's only one weekend for camps and you got all these teams doing them at the same time. No, I say let's do them all on the same day and let the cards fall where they may.
Oh, it's going to get weird.
Yeah.
Somebody's just going to be lacking.
Yeah, no. So as a recruiting analyst, I love it because there's no, you know, the kids like to lie and they like to try to lead you on who leads or who's really in it. But there will be no lies when they show up where they show up.
Right. You're going to know.
Mm-hmm. One way or another, you're going to know where you stand with some of the biggest names on the board.
Yeah, I know. Our shit going to be lit. We already know. We know what Mullen do when it's Friday Night Lights, dog. Our shit going to be lit. But y'all got an opportunity to feed off some shit we have, though, because our shit on a Friday night, so. Y'all can catch some people.
Miami ain't piggybacking off Florida.
I didn't say that. I just say y'all can catch some people that we ain't on the same day. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. I hear you.
I think all three teams.
I said Florida State might be catching some kids leaving Friday Night Lights rolling out of town. They'll stop by on the way out.
I think all three teams are going to be at 75% or higher completion of their class by the time, let's say, like mid-August starts. Would you guys agree?
Yeah,
they about to start rolling in. You feel like, you know what I'm saying, these classes about to start filling up a little bit.
Everyone's going to do the same thing. They're just going to take 75-80% of the class and then hold a couple spots for the fish that are going to wait.
There's going to be some push-outs too, man. I think some kids, they're going to be some reaches that they could probably push out later for a different kid and shit. Like, it's about to get grimy out here, bro.
I'm here for it.
Speaking of grimy, y'all ready to go talk to Javon Kearse? I think he's ready.
Hell yeah.
Let's get filthy, baby.
Right, bring on the freak, TJ. Dial him up.
I work on my segues. I'm trash at that shit. That was great, Bird.
Yeah, that was good.
First time on the show, we have a legend, born and raised from North Fort Myers, eventually ended up at University of Florida as a free safety, but got moved outside linebacker, defensive end. Three-time Pro Bowler, 1999 Rookie of the Year, collecting 14 and a half sacks, 1996 National Champ, 1998 All-American. So you know there's a brick outside of being here, Griffin, if you get that. Javon the Freak Curse, how's it going, baby?
I'm good, man. What's going on with y'all?
Man, we good, man. We got a legend. We got a freak on the show, man.
Another goat.
Man, I was supposed to make this happen a long time ago, man, but I guess timing is everything.
It's absolutely. I appreciate you coming on, man. First off, I want to ask, who coined the name Freak? Where did it come from?
Let me see. I got that from what two of my teammates would call me that back at the University of Florida. I want to say maybe after my first year, probably like my sophomore year, two teammates came out of a meeting, and then all they did looked at me, Tim Beauchamp, who played DN at Florida, and I think Johnny Rutledge, who played linebacker, and they just looked at me. They're like, dude, man, you a freak, man. Like, straight up, they're like, dude, man, you a freak, man. They're like, man, how in the hell did you, like just some of the plays I was making back when I was playing at UL? And, like, the truth to that was I was splitting time, like, evenly with Mike Peterson. So it's like when I was on the field, bro, I was going the whole time. So I just start off pass rushing on the left side. And literally, like, went all the way around the backfield and, like, chased somebody down, like, on the opposite sideline. And I'm like, man, I'm just out there having fun.
All right, that's dope, man. So who introduced you to the game of football? I know Florida, I mean, we football's second. It's pretty much life here, man. But how'd you get introduced to football?
Oh, man. It was, hey, funny story is one day, I was coming home. I got home from school. I think I might have been in maybe first or second grade, but I was going home from school. And I run into my mom outside talking to my older brother. And then I just walked up, and then I'm like, what's going on? What's the deal here? Because, like he walked home, he got home before me. And so I'm like, what are y'all talking about? And she was like, nothing, don't worry about it. I'm like, no, what y'all talking about? JG want me to sign him up for football. I'm like, I want to play. Like, he was like, you don't even know anything about what's going on, man. I'm like, man, no, I'm like, I want to play too. And pretty much like back when I was like at the age of, I want to say 7 or 8, that was it. Started off playing offensive line, defensive line. Like, I was that kid who didn't shy away from contact. And I was out there having fun. So I didn't play any of the glorified positions. I didn't play any of the running backs, quarterbacks, or any of that stuff. They just stuck me like where they needed somebody to be aggressive at, to be tough. And I was like offensive tackle or probably defensive tackle or something like that. And man, just it started from that time up, just playing and having fun and pretty much play like all the positions.
Dope, man. So that transition from free safety to defensive end, how did that work out? Was it because they moved you quick and you got on the field quick as a pass rusher? How was that?
Yeah. I mean, pretty much I probably went from free safety to outside linebacker after my second day of freshman camp. Like, this was just, man, I'm like, hey, I done got out of Fort Myers. I'm about to go up and, you know, get my education and play some football, you know, and have some fun. And so, you know, like, normally the freshmen start like training camp or tour days, maybe like 2 or 3 days before the upperclassmen gets in. And so, I was at safety and, we were at like practicing like the first day, the first morning or the second afternoon or the first afternoon maybe. And we were like scrimmaging. Like, I don't know how we got the scrimmaging, but we got the scrimmaging like pads on and like banging heads. Like, I would say like around the second day. And man, I was just out of my free safety spot. I was just up around the ball. I was just coming up, like, you know, trying to tag running backs and trying to literally pass rush from way from my free safety spot. I was just happy to be there and just making plays. So maybe like around the third day, my free safety coach, you know, came to me like right before the morning meetings. And he was like, yo, Curse, today, how about you meet up with the other coach? And I think at the time it was Ron Zook. And because Ron Zook was coaching the strong safety slash like nickelback, strong safety slash like outside backer, like the position that Ben Hanks played back number 11 back when he played. So it was kind of like a strong side outside linebacker, strong safety. And from that point on, like I was having fun at that position there. And then after maybe my first or second year, they started. My freshman year, that's when they stuck me at had me at Sam linebacker. And then they had a bunch of blitz packages, and that's where they started sending me. And so you know it, making a lot of noise, getting a lot of sacks, causing a whole lot of like pressure, just doing whatever the team needed me to do. And then I finally found out that they say you could be a high NFL draft pick. So I came out early after my junior year, and then at that point there. They were like the scouts were like saying that they were wanting to draft me at either I heard like DN or her outside linebacker, and so like I never really played full time defensive end until I got to the NFL with the Tennessee Titans. So before that I was just outside linebacker, in which I had and then if I'm playing free safety I was the strong side. So oftentimes had to pick up running backs at the backfield and had to guard tight end. And then, like, once I got the phone call from the Titans April back in, like, 1999, and Jeff Fisher said, we're taking you off the board, number 16, and we want you to get in here, at defense end and chase the quarterback around for us. And I was like, hey, I gotcha.
and you had him for 14 and a half. We talk a lot of recruiting on this show. How'd your recruitment go? How'd you end up in Florida? Did you take all five visits?
I took one unofficial. So, like, in the way I took five, I took an unofficial to Florida State. And that was, like, back during the season when I got a chance to see him in action, which was nice. Because, like, one of my idols who came out of my high school, who happened to be they go by the nickname Prime Time.
Prime.
he came out of my high school, but he was Florida State. And then so happens, like, after my sophomore year back in high school, I got one letter at the end of the football season that springtime. One letter. And that one letter came from Florida State. And that was like motivation. So fast forward. So I took my first visit to Florida State, an unofficial visit. And then my four official visits happened to be Ohio State. In this order, actually, it was Miami, then Ohio State, Notre Dame, and then Florida was my last visit. And basically, it just came down to location because I was kind of – I couldn't go to Miami. You know why I couldn't go to Miami? I love Miami. Miami had one of my homies from high school, Jamie German, and when I took my visit down, Jamie showed me around. Jamie and we hooked up with Sap, and before you know it, we run into Luke, like Uncle Luke, like Luther Campbell. We ran into him at some little spot where like a lot of people were like, it was a boxing ring there. That's all I recall. And it was people just drunk, just in there wrestling. And then next thing you know, he calls the Miami Hurricanes to the stage, and I was about to get in there like I was 1-2. And then they like stopped me or whatever. But like I'm like, listen, we ran around in love from Luke, and then all the rest of the stuff that goes on in Miami, like club scene. Can't even lie, like that's when I visited pretty much my first like real like gentleman's club. That's what I'm gonna call
it. All day guys, what Luke calls
them. No, man, it's just like home to Luke. But honestly, like I had so much fun on that visit. I told myself I wouldn't make it there. Like I'll probably like get into some stuff or who knows what would happen.
A lot of kids wouldn't say that to themselves, though.
Yeah.
Wouldn't say that to themselves.
that doesn't happen. But I was like, man, like, I just got to be, like, realistic, man. Like, they just had it. They owned
it. It was too turned up.
Like the Miami Dolphins. Yeah, they were just
turned up. Yeah, like
they ran the city. Yeah, pretty much got more love than the Dolphins. So, unless the number 13 named Dan Marino or something.
Right.
Besides that, like, they ran the city. So, it was like they just get a pass for, like, everything. And I told myself I would probably, like, I don't know. That just like how I felt at that time. And then my first visit after that was my next visit, which was to Ohio State, and that went pretty good. Coach Cooper was there at the time. It was the time when when I met with him in his office, he was like, what can I say? If you sign here, you know, like you'll be starting like this year. And I was like, you know what? That wasn't what I was really wanting to hear, because I know like it's not that easy. I know it's gonna be like a fight, like to go out in 2 days and prove yourself and whatnot. So I was like, kind of not really, you know, like I just didn't kind of think it was real, like the truth or whatnot. I think it was just saying just to get me up there. And then after that, my next visit was Notre Dame, and man, I was sold on the prestige, the prestige of wearing that gold helmet and, you know, slapping that wall whenever you know you're about to take the field.
I was sold
on that. Yeah, man. I was just about sold on that. And at the time, Lou Holtz was there. And, like, he had, like, auto recruits. We went over to his house. And, you know, just, I'm like, man, this is that dude. Like, although, you know, I did meet Bobby Bowden, and at the time in Miami, when I took my visit to Miami, they had Dennis Erickson there. Mm-hmm. And, man, it was just, I'm like, Lou Holtz, man. I'm like, yeah. So I gave him my verbal commitment. And, I gave him my verbal commitment, my only verbal commitment. But I had one more visit. But they told me, do not take the last visit. Like, they're like, why take the last visit? You know, you're already committed to us. So,
they try to get you to shut it down.
Yeah. But, you know, I still, you know, I'm like, it's a free trip. You know, it's to Gainesville, but it's a trip, you know, in the college atmosphere. And, you know, I grew up in Florida. So, like, the big three schools, definitely, we all grew up, like, well, me, myself, I didn't, like, pick one, like, one team, that like, one Florida team that I was, like, straight up rolling with. Like, I was a huge fan of Florida State growing up. Like, we would all like play like center lock, and you know, we're getting behind the center, lift our leg up like Charlie Ward, and you know, run the option and everything.
Yeah.
Did all of that, and then the squad that Miami always had, and then the Gators always like doing their thing. I was used, like, I was a receiver I was a receiver and free safety back in high school, so I used to watch Jack Jackson all the time at UF. You know, we're two totally different people or whatever, but I was just a fan of all the big schools. So back to Notre Dame, I was really just, you know, just, you know, kept the last visit. I'm like, no, but, you know, we did, you know, I did have my verbal. And so I guess they posted on publications and everything to scare everyone else that, you know, I'm really committed and I'm going up there. And then I took the visit to Florida. And that was like, it was like a really good, I mean, like the biggest thing that drew me in about Florida was the location. Like, my family grew up, we down in Fort Myers in a single parent household. So it'd be more economical to drive up to Gainesville versus my mom and my five siblings jumping on a plane, flying up to South Bend, Indiana. So I wanted to make sure that was good or whatever. And, you know, I had a car, so driving back and forth was easy. And then on top of that, my mom's best, and also the reason I went to Florida was my mom's best friend, brother played at Florida, Johnny Church, and he played defensive end there out of Cypress Lake High School. So I'm like, you know what? Like, it just sounds like, you know, Florida, it was my speed. And then when I took my visit there, like, I didn't, like, Spurrier wasn't blowing smoke in anybody's face or
Javon,
down your throat. Yeah.
Do you remember what it was like having Steve Spurrier sit in your home for that in-home visit? And what was your family's reaction, more importantly, to Steve Spurrier?
Really, like my mom just looked at him and just said, you know, just let him know he's gonna be all right if he leaves, like when he leaves home. And Spur was like, "Dad, if he comes, if he does what he's supposed to do," and you know, because I'm at the time I was graduating from high school, National Honor Society, and they're like, "Well, if his grades are real and he's been like putting in his work, then you know, he's gonna be okay." He's like, "I have anything to worry about." And that was it. And my aunt was there at the same time, and then she was like, "So, how many tickets can we get to come to every game?" And they just started laughing. It was like, we'll get that like situated or whatever.
Was and he?
That was it for him.
Did he connect with your family? I mean, because he's so, you know, he's so out there, but he's genuine. So, like, what was that? What was the relationship like between you and him, and you know, like you're in your family and him?
I mean, just like he didn't blow any smoke. Like he just said, you know, like he's gonna come up and come, you know, and have a chance to compete. And you see what we've been doing. Like we've been winning. Like we're gonna like win some SEC championships, and you know, and try to get some national championships. And like with guys like this, and that was it. Like he didn't say I'm gonna come up and start and be the man and come up and go play in the NFL because of his program and everything. Like, just mm-hmm. like he was gonna come up and compete in the SEC and win some conference championships and possibly some national championships, and we did those.
Hey, Javon, that is a good segue because I'm going to the next question. After that 1996 national championship when we dragged Florida State 56-20,
I turned up
City of Gainesville when you got back, baby.
Listen, I remember that game. Listen, it was 52-20.
I got you.
I have the ring in my safe that says it. I mean, it was love. It's like our money wasn't good anywhere. Like all the spots that we frequented, like the
that's
the
illegal, bar, freak.
I'm just saying, man. They didn't give us anything or whatever, but that's when it came time to pay our bill or whatnot at most of the spots, and then like.
They lost the check. Yeah. It ain't your fault, though. Yeah. Statue of limitations.
It didn't give us anything, man. Gainesville was.
Go ahead.
No, I mean, I was just going to say, like, Gainesville, it was just fun. Like, Gainesville was a fun time. And then, man, it was awesome feeling. Like, especially, like, from what happened the year before when we got murdered by.
Murdered by Nebraska
in the Fiesta Bowl. So then coming back and getting that win, and then losing to those kids up in Dope Campbell, like losing to those kids in the regular season, and then whatever happened during the bowl games, just like lining us back up, and man, we was just so ready for that one.
Already, man. We had Quez on the show. We had Johnny Rutledge on the show. I'm a big Fred Taylor fan. I'm from Bagley. Who had the most hoes, man? Yeah. Who's getting the hoes out there?
That's a valid question.
Oh man. Let me try to be politically correct about this.
Everybody.
Everybody did their thing. Like, then we eventually made our way up to Tallahassee.
That's what Clinton Porter said. When we had him on.
I'm just saying, man. That, like, Gainesville eventually, like, yeah, it got small in that category there.
So y'all was knocking it down, dog.
So we had to venture off to Tallahassee, you know, the fam, you, the set. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Go and holler at Rock. Go holler at Rock at, what's the 12?
Moon? Was it Moon?
The Moon.
Already.
Man. Come on, man.
Already.
Yeah.
All right, man. Give me a good Fred Taylor story, bro.
Oh, man. You trying to put me on the spot. Let me see. Fred, good Fred story.
Fred or Rita?
Thank you,
Fred or Rita?
Hey, while you think about it, how old do you feel that that you played with Fred, his son already came and gone from Florida too. You know what I'm saying?
Like I thought about that maybe yesterday. I was like, no shit. Like Fred's son did like go to UF because I saw something about. LeBron said that his ultimate, you know, comfort would be like to share the same court as his son. I'm like, Trinity almost did that though, man. Like he could have did that.
You could have been close.
That's just crazy right there. But I mean, we did a funny reveal in the front story, man. Oh man, and I know so much about all both those boys, man.
What were they like as teammates? I mean, what were some of the things that you noticed about them just growing up as men? You know,
About Fred and Riddell.
About Fred Riddell. Like, what was your relationship with them like from the moment that you walked on campus to now, even?
Man, those dudes are from this little muck town called Belgrade. And apparently, all they do is joke on each other all day. They call it joking, scoring, Jones, you know, whatever you want to call it, man. They can joke all day. And that's one thing I know about that. About that, like, those were, like, two of the funniest dudes, like, on the team. Like, every time they was around, like, it's going to be a whole bunch of laughing going on. Like, they just say some funny stuff.
Are y'all still as close as you were, like, back then? How often do you talk with them?
Yeah, I talk to Fred, like, just about every week. We often have little golf trips together, play a bunch of golf, like, down here in South Florida. He's over, like, what's the area? Maybe, like, Davie. Like just like outside of Davies. So like Freddie's still down, and I often play a lot of golf with Riddell. Like sometimes like everyone comes over to this side, South Florida, like between Boca, Miami area, and like we just to go play golf. Myself, Fred, Riddell, Dante Culpepper, Marcus Stroud. We got a bulldog in there. He's like the only bulldog we hang around though. So we're just a bunch of us just get together and just play some golf. And then right now Riddell is doing his speed camp over in the Tampa area. So
yeah,
I try to keep up with Riddell more like on like social media. Like we just back and forth, like send messages to each other, and then like a little group text.
Javon, this is TJ. I produce the show. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing good, man.
Good. I got a question for you. So in your NFL career, man, we were talking about it last night when we were all chatting with each other. Josh even said that on the Dreamcast, man, you were just unreal. And if we had you at DN on the Dreamcast, bro, you
– unstoppable.
You just couldn't beat it. Like, it's like throwing it up to Moss. And, I mean, that's kind of how you were coming out of school too. I mean, it's been how long? 17 years, and you still hold the record for rookie sacks. I mean, nobody else
– outside of Bo Jackson on Tecmo Bowl, there was no more dominant player in a video game than Javon Kearse coming off the edge on Sega Dreamcast.
So my question is two-part. I mean, one has to do with that and one doesn't, but I'll ask you this and then get out of the way. But so did you ever play video games with yourself, and how unfair was that? And what was that? What's that like playing video games yourself? And then second, more real football question. Tell me your top NFL moment. Like, what's the best play, the best game, the best memory, outside of maybe getting drafted? But like, you know, like the coolest moment of your NFL career.
Oh man. Okay. Yes, I played myself in a video game. Come on,
but did you have Sega Dreamcast? Did you have Sega Dreamcast?
Yes, I did. I had all of them. I had Dreamcast. What came before Dreamcast? Was it just the
PlayStation 1. Right? Didn't PlayStation 1 come before Dreamcast?
Yeah. No, I think it was N64 before Dreamcast. Right?
Yeah.
Sega Genesis in general. Yes. But yeah.
We're about to fall down a weird-ass rabbit hole, bro. Just let him
fall. I'm here for this. This is why I wanted Javon on here.
Yeah, hey, straight up, like, especially, like, Nintendo Tecmo Bowl came before all that. And then, growing up a football fan, everybody was playing Tecmo Bowl. Like, you see, like, the that like the, that passenger, right? You can pick the play. You can't even stop it. And like the Bo Jackson's just like, I don't know the slaves there. Listen, trust me. I know about that. So finally, like when I made myself on the video game, I'm like, man, I gotta see what's going on. And dude, I used to give people the business with me, by me, for me.
Yeah, hell yeah.
So just like I had to do that, and then like once a PlayStation like came out with it, like with John Madden. Listen, man, I had so many people like tell me like, dude, it's not even fair, man. I'm like, you mean because I'm the cheat code? Because you can just stick that linebacker in front of that tackle, then you know he's gonna make him like hesitate to block me, and I'm gonna mess the quarterback up, and doing it real life as well, but just doing it on the game, like knowing it was like unstoppable.
Some people tell me
how much money they won, like, you know, playing with me in the video game, and, you know, I'm like, can I get a percentage of that?
I remember being a freshman at Florida State when Sega Dreamcast came out, and I was always the Tennessee Titans, and between you, Steve McNair, and Dyson, I mean, it was like, it was the dream team. It was unstoppable for whatever reason.
Eddie George.
I remember playing people, and I used to tell them what plays I was running, and they still couldn't stop
me. Frank Wycheck at tight end. I mean, he caught everything. I mean, he's as big as a house.
I mean, that was the most fun I've ever had playing video games was playing Sega Dreamcast. And I think, how long did Sega Dreamcast last? Like 3 years or something?
Like 2 years, and then they called Javon Carson a cheat code. So they,
bro, you were a cheat code.
Speaking of that, just like all the guys now, everybody's so worried about John Madden. Like, if somebody thinks John Madden can give them all the attributes, man, they feel some kind of way. So I'm like, I gotta play it myself just to see. And then I forgot the second part of your question.
Oh, favorite NFL moment.
Favorite NFL moment. That's still
great. Anything.
Man, favorite NFL moment, that probably goes back to my rookie year. I wasn't a part of that play, but I was on the team. But I did get two sacks and a safety that game. But I'm going to go back to this was the last game of the season. Mind you, like my rookie year happened to be our position coach, our defensive line coach, Jim Washburn. That happened to be his first year as well. And, you know, like he said, he like wrote our different types of things that we want to try to accomplish for the season. And one of the things that he had on the wall was set the new team record in sacks. And I think it might have been at like maybe like early to mid 50s, probably 53 or 54. And then, you know, he was like, you know, like we need to beat that record, because if we beat that record, that means we getting sacks. And I mean, if we getting sacks, eventually we're going to get money. Sacks bring money. So that's one of the things on the board. And then like going into the last game, this offensive tackle I was about to go against was talking like trash all week long, named Shaw Perdanis. And we were playing against the Steelers. And, like, the game before, like, when we played them earlier in that season, I got a sack. I sacked Cordell Stewart. But, like, in this game, he was like, you know, I wasn't going to do anything. And at that point, you know, like, I had them establish my nickname. Like, I was known as the Freak. Like, I didn't bring nothing with me from UF. Like, I'm basically like, you know, I'm like, that's what they call me at UF. I got to go earn a name for myself now in the NFL. And then, you know, once I got into my groove during the season, my rookie year, then by this time, like end of the season, you know, I was the Freak. Like the freak had arrived by that time. So had to go against this tackle, and the game get going, and I get a good get off, and then I beat the guy around, and then I forgot who the quarterback was, but it wasn't Cordell Stewart. It was his backup, whoever it was. But I ended up being my tackle and getting a sack, and I stripped the ball, and I picked the ball up. And I'm like, let me take it in the end zone. And so I'm running to the end zone. I did maybe two or three, like, little high steps in honor of Dion. Yeah. But then trying to get in the end zone. Mind you, end of my first year, like, I was, I was, mind you, I had not scored a touchdown since, like, my – since high school. So didn't score any in college, and I get into the end zone. I'm like, man, I always wanted to spike this ball, man. I always wanted to spike it. I saw it all my life to get into the end zone and spike the ball. Then went back to the sideline. My coach was like, hey, what are you doing? We need that ball. And that was the sack that broke the team record. That was the sack that broke the team record in sacks. And I spiked the ball. And I was like, man, I could have got the ball. So I ended up turning around and sprinting back to the end zone and getting the ball like out of the referee's hand, like, yo, we need this ball. And gave it to my position coach, as a token to, hey, we in this thing together and appreciate the guidance, because honestly, I didn't play defensive end in the league. I had to pretty much like learn on the run. So yes, that's my play. That was my like one of my like prime time moments right there. And
hey, I gotta ask you about. I'm sorry. Since we're talking about it, I gotta ask you. We had Samari Rowland a couple weeks ago, and I asked him. 1 yard from a Super Bowl, man. What's that feeling? How long did that take to get over?
Oh, man. It took a long while. Like, I can't even lie to you. I never even watched, like, after we played in that game and, you know, it was behind us, I never even watched that game again until maybe 2010.
Wow.
And we played it in 99. Like, I never watched it again until 2010 because, like, I just, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just took some, like, I would just want to remember, like, the good stuff about it. Like, I didn't want to see that game end and see the confetti come down and it's not in our favor. So we get rained on by someone else's confetti.
It's like watching the end of Scarface, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah, you don't want to see the downfall.
Just like that.
Something Samari said that kind of shocked me was he said the next year's AFC Championship game was worse to him because you guys expected, like, that was your team. Did you get any of that, or is that just a no?
I mean, yes. I mean, like, I did feel like that because, like, actually, like, my rookie year, we went, like, 13-3. And then my second year, my sophomore campaign, we ended up going, like, 14-2. And you know, like we had a nice team, like all around, and of course, like, you know, the Ravens were getting all this rave about their defense and everything else. And then we had our first round bye because our first year we ended up like playing the Bills and doing the Music City Miracle in the wild card weekend. Even though we were 13-3, but Jacksonville was like 14-2 in the same division as us, and their only two losses came from us, the Titans. And so that was like my the rookie year, but like the second year, just everything just fell into place. And, you know, like we were like, you know, doing like everything we wanted to do, and the Pro Bowl. And but besides that, whatever, like we went into the playoffs first week by, and then we were facing the Ravens. And I think we like split wins like that year against the Ravens. And we were playing at home. Like we didn't like at that point. Matter of fact, cool thing is, we never lost a home game my first year or my second year up until that game there. Yeah, up until that game there, which, like, it actually wasn't the AFC Championship game. It was the game, like, right before it, because, like, we ended up, like, losing, like, the first game we played after we had the first round bye.
Dang. Man, we talked up a little bit at the gym, man, about the new hire. We got Dan Mullen back in the swamp. How you feel about that and how you see the program straightening up?
Man, they're going, after last season, they can't go down any more than that right there, man. Like, it was a depressing season, but, like, you want to throw out there, you know, the fact that, you know, half the team was suspended and, you know, never played, but, like, you got to just think like you're a Florida school. Like you got like guys like on a conveyor belt that's ready to jump out there and show something. But it showed like that wasn't the case last year with the Kansas. And I talked to Coach Mullen maybe a few weeks back. And he's very energetic. He's very enthused. Like he's ready to get his thing turned around. Like he told me that he cleared house. I didn't like I give him the details about it, but he was like, you know, he cleared house and, you know, starting from the ground up. And, like, he's going to get, like, Florida football back fun again and start winning some ball games. And, hey, and definitely, like, he was – first thing he was doing was inviting all the former guys back, which someone told me that, you know, Coach McElwain, like, you know, like, didn't really, like, allow, like, a lot of the former guys, like, to come around, which – I don't know, like, to what extent, like, that, like, pertains to. But I was told, like, as far as, like, guys, like, former guys coming back, because, like, back when I was playing, you know, like, the guys who were in the NFL, they would come back and train with us, you know, during off-season workouts, during summer workouts. You know, they're out there. So it's like, you know, it was like they were, like, you know, mentors out there. You know, we asked questions about the NFL and seeing what kind of work, seeing they still putting in work, and even though they're in the league, so just let you know. But they said, like, Coach McElwain didn't allow that. So a lot of the
guys something to hide, pretty man. Much,
yeah. But Coach Mullen is all about that. Like, he's already invited everyone back and really trying to get everyone, like, just to remember about the, you know, the everybody on board about this family atmosphere. Because we are a family. We are that orange and blue family. So, I mean, he's excited about it and just ready to get things turned back around. And I mean, basically, if you got everyone, if everyone's healthy, like, besides healthy, but if everyone is, like, you know, still away from, you know, credit card fraud, like, all those things, breaking the law, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We'll definitely be good to go, man.
Yeah, man. All right, before we get you off here, man, I told you 10 minutes, but we started hanging out, man. My bad on that.
Well, it was all good, man.
Before I get you off, man, give me a good Steve McNair memory.
Oh, man, McNair. The big homie, man. First of all, I just know, like, on July 4th every year, like, it's already, like for, like, I don't know, what, like, I kind of forget about it a little bit. But then as soon as the 4th get here, like, you know, think about, you know, celebrating the independence and, you know, everything else that goes with, you know, so maybe some barbecue here or there. So this thing about having memories, and all of a sudden, like, somebody would post some type of memory or something. And I'm like, oh, man, that is right on the 4th of July every year, which that sucks right there, man. But, like, some of my fondest memories was the same thing. Dude, this dude literally, like, the year that he was co-MVP with Peyton Manning, my dude, I think that was the year when, I don't know, wait, no, this was a year, like, when I think he got hit in the chest or whatever, and he came back from that, like, after Neil Dunner, like, stepped in for him. But, like, my guy was just literally, he'll get to the stadium, and he'll warm up, like, early. Like, he'll get there probably, like, most of us get there maybe about 2 hours, 2.5 hours before the game start. And McNair get there about maybe 3 hours before the game start. And he'll go out and warm up, throw some passes. And then next thing you know, we'll all get there, and then we're in the training room about to get taped, and look over, and Steve is asleep. He sleeps like maybe an hour before we go out to the game. Like, he takes a nap, and then that dude gets up, and man, he gets up and go out there and put on the show as soon as the whistle starts.
Yeah,
so
man,
that's one of my things, man. Man, my guy was just a warrior, man. Like, I saw the type of punishment this dude took, and he never complained about a thing. Like, never complained. Like, but he would go get that treatment to make sure he's out there, whatever. Then he'll get out there and get beat up again the next week. And literally, like, sometimes, like, this dude didn't even practice all week long. So, like, we don't know, like, how you're supposed to get on the same page as your receivers and running backs and just the timing of everything. Because he basically, like, cause he was so beat up, he couldn't even practice during the week. And, man, soon as Sunday get here, like, you would never know. Like, that dude right there, that dude from Alcorn State? No, he was that dude, man. He was, like, he was just one of the coolest dudes that you would ever meet, man.
All right, dope, man. We appreciate you for coming on, man. We got to link up at a game or something, man, this fall, man. Get you back in the swamp.
Hey, I'm ready for it, man. I just thought about getting over there. Actually, I went to the past 3 or 4 years, I went to the Florida-Georgia game, which is Jacksonville. But I didn't go to a game back at UF since I played there. And that was like – but the game I went to was like 2 years ago against South Carolina. That was my first time there, and it was just a nostalgic moment. Like, I didn't want to do the sideline thing So I didn't know about the McElwain thing. I didn't even go that route. Like, I wanted to be up in the stands. I wanted, like, the real fans.
You wanted to feel it.
Man of the people.
Yes. I wanted to be in there, like, next to the people, you know, hear what they said about, you know, about the game, the team, the players, and whatever the situation is. And I just want to experience that from a fan's point of view. But the next time I go, I have a feeling I may want to be on the sideline. So, yeah. But, yeah, so I plan on getting back there sometime this year. But definitely we can chop it up, though.
Hey, we're going to have to get you back on. We're going to have to get you back on, man. During the summer before the fall.
It'll be my pleasure, fellas.
All right, Javon. Man, appreciate you coming on, though.
No doubt, man. Y'all have a good one.
That's it. Wow. That was fucking amazing.
That was dope as fuck.
Bro, he went Miami recruiting story. He went Notre Dame. I didn't know he gave a verbal to Notre Dame.
Motherfucker talking about hanging out at the moon at fam fucking hoes. Like,
he gave a silent commitment to Notre Dame and nobody.
Yeah, I mean, that shit's dope. And, I mean, he was almost like Griffey bragging about himself on the games and shit.
This is the fuck we do, dog. We get the story nobody else fucking get, dog. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, TJ, leave this shit on the show. Leave this on the show.
Yeah, of course we are.
Nobody's getting this shit.
I can't tell you how many times I had my friends at my neck because I would piss them off so much when I would tell them exactly what play I was calling on Dreamcast. And they still couldn't stop it. Or I was Javon Kearse coming off the edge, and they had no offense because he was so unstoppable. So, like, that to me, and then the fact that he said, of course I played with myself. Like, I wanted to hit pause on him, but I couldn't.
He said, like, five times I had to hit him with one.
I know. I saw that. Well, I couldn't pause a goat.
What we were talking about him off air, I forgot to even say it because we got so much good shit. He said he still wants to play, like, third and longs and shit, bro. Right. He's still in shape, bro, for, like, a 38 situation.
I'm at the gym. He comes over. He's like, yo, man, let me jump in and do some chest and tries with you. So I'm like, who this big motherfucker, like, trying to deep on my bench? So I get up, I'm like, oh, shit, this curse. I was like, yeah, you want to jump in? He's like, yeah, man, those kids over there took my bench, man. Let me just jump in with you. I'm like, dog, you fucking Javon Kearse, bro.
It's your bench now, dog.
It's your bench, bro. I don't want no problems, dog. I'm going to be respectful.
That's dope.
Matter of fact, I'm going to hit the machine weight. I don't want to be riding no free weights while you here, my nigga.
Nah, that shit's dope, man.
That was awesome, man. That was awesome.
Bro, we really live in this shit, like, bitch. No one had told me I was going to talk to Javon Kearse and shit.
What do you mean? I told Kev, what did I tell you? Like, week two, think big.
Oh, we don't listen to you, Bird. I hear that shit when you said that.
Hey, man.
Damn.
We'll get Oprah on this bitch one day, man.
That's dope. I need to be on Oprah. Go ahead and bring that bitch back. Tell my story.
Hey, this show will only be as big as you can dream it. So, hey, if you say Oprah, we'll get Oprah.
Hey, we out here, baby.
Yo, so I saw TJ start some stuff the other night, or last night. We're doing this on Wednesday. This might have been last night. Hey, bro, you like Cheetos or Doritos, man? You had to pick.
If I had to pick, I would pick Doritos. But I'm really not even a big Doritos fan. I'm more of like a Pringles guy. But
You would be a fucking Pringle. You look like the guy on the can.
I would put
Pringles. Like the Pringle
Why'd you have to say that?
Why'd you have to say that, bro?
I would put Cheetos at the very bottom, though, of all the chips.
What? The crunchy ones, bro? The little crunchy ones?
Yeah, I would put Cheetos at the very bottom. There's so many snacks that I would put over Cheetos.
Do you like the Cheetos? Okay, TJ, bro, Jones, Cheetos. Do you like the big puffy ones? Are we talking about the big puffy ones or the little crunchy ones?
I'm either or, man. Cheese puffs or Cheetos, dog. You can't go wrong, bro.
But the cheese kind of puffs, muscle. Man, I just don't like how they like, bitches are on my teeth. Like, you gotta wait, like...
Are cheese puffs like, the little round ones?
The noodle-looking joints, bro.
No, those are trash. What are the round ones? The little round cheddar?
Cheese puffs.
Yeah, those are like the same thing. They're just in a different
I like
thing.
Those better than Cheetos are trash. They're the worst of the worst in my book.
Man, you're going to get blown up, dog.
I disagree, dog. No, my son fucking shuts down this whole school operation if it ain't Cheetos in this bitch, bro. Like, ain't no lunchbox going to lunch, none of that shit, dog. He going on Sprite.
If he don't have Cheetos?
I like Fritos better than Cheetos.
Fritos,
Jesus fucking flavor. Christ, Berg. Why'd you say that, man? Why do you keep saying shit like this?
Coming from somebody that doesn't like breakfast, I hardly value your opinion.
Yeah, but you don't like the Tender sub. So, I mean, you can't – I mean, you got a trash food opinion too.
No, I don't. Those are facts, bro. Anybody that's had it doesn't really like it as much as they say.
Here's the thing, though, about my breakfast shit.
Tooth and shit, bro, for real.
I just prefer lunch.
Which Doritos do you like best, Cool Ranch or the regular joints?
Cool Ranch.
You would like
the same. You like the worst one, too.
Yeah, like, what?
Like now, the classic if I'm getting Doritos, I get the like the spicy nacho ones or whatever. But my favorite chip is the wavy sour cream and cheddar chips.
Those are good.
Those are solid. Favorite.
We can agree on that. We can all agree on that.
Those are solid.
I just can't.
Cheetos fire, bro. Nah. Your hands, your fingers be all orange and shit.
TJ ran a poll, and I don't think
he's just licking my
TJ,
fingers,
how did your poll results go on the TJ on the Doritos?
Pick the shit out of your
poll
teeth,
went.
Though.
It was 75%. Me, Kev, and Silk, yes, and you know. 75% Cheetos. No, you that was a setup. No, you finally got set up.
Twitter.
You don't
know
win.
What the results were. So tell us.
Doritos won because people
by
got
landslide too.
I mean, you can't take people's Twitter opinions as gold.
I like to be amongst a smaller percentage, bro. The elite. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The path less traveled.
Hey, you know what I fucks with, though? Like, ever since I've been, like, craving sweet shit, bro. Tell me if you've ever had Airhead Bites.
Yeah, them shit's fire.
No, they don't sell them everywhere, bro. You got to find a gas station and sell them.
Oh, wait. Are those, like, the half one or the quarter ones?
No, bro. They're small, like they bites. Come in like a bag, like almost Skittles, but they're like bigger.
Oh, okay.
Bro, they're fucking amazing. I walk around. I stay strapped, bro. I walk around with these in my pocket.
Do they have mystery?
Yeah, I mean, I don't even look at the colors. Yeah, the white ones. Yeah,
yeah.
I just throw them bitches in my mouth.
Balls.
Damn it! I would get paws today.
You would.
I would.
All right.
So, well, y'all hear about the transfer rule, NCAA?
Yeah, but so it's like they passed the rule, but now the conferences can come up with like their own rules with it. I'm confused a little bit on how free this is actually going to be.
It sounds like the Wild Wild West right now, my nigga.
Yeah, the way I'm looking at it is, it's like every offseason is a free agency.
That's
shit.
What it reads like.
That's what
you know.
I mean,
what
are you saying? So Burke's saying it's like the
recruiting is never over for real. No,
no.
Yeah, so you got to recruit them while they're still on campus. Now, like you got to make sure that they're not leaving. You got to stay recruiting forever.
Right. Yeah. It's not just until they sign on the dotted line anymore. It's until they sign an NFL contract.
So you know what I do like? There's going to be a database of all the prospects that are basically free agents. For the coaches that they can log into and see who's available, I guarantee you I get a password for that.
This is my thing. So if you log your shit into that system and then nobody pick you up, can you just go back to your team and shit like that shit ain't happening?
Probably, yeah, sure. You can do that now.
Yeah, it's just like free agency. Just like free agency. LeBron's going to throw his name in a bunch of hats, but he still go back to Cleveland.
Yeah, you can say you're transferring and then, you know, like, that happened with Craig Watts at USF. His dad came out and said he was transferring. And then, like, 2 weeks later, he was staying. Ultimately, he did end up transferring. But, like, yeah, you can – there's no, like – your eligibility doesn't run out or there's no official, you know, statement that you're gone.
Technically, in the new system, when you enter your name into the system, you're not, like, breaking the let your
– I believe so. No, I believe that you could end up back at that school.
Yeah, that shit's going to be wild, then. They can't have that shit like that, Bird.
So you're going to have to still recruit. I mean, it's crazy. I agree it's crazy. I'm here for it.
Yeah, but so –
that's a bit much.
So let me get this straight. You have to put your name in. Like if a player doesn't put their name in, then just other teams
in,
can't
like
just
– Facebook.
Yeah, I'm saying, but other teams can't just – okay, say Blackman. He didn't want to transfer, but Alabama, like, calls him and offers him a bag.
They can't do that.
That's tampering. You can't contact a kid until he has his release from that school. So
legally you can't.
Legally you can't. Right. So I assume that once you're in that database, you have your release. Now that's a good. I'm gonna call a coach and
that's
ask.
That's what I was saying. Once you run the database, you gotta be like released right. from that. There's no way you could just throw yourself out there and like shop around. Like, nah, I'm gonna go back.
Yeah,
shopping around.
That does.
I'll just bullshit.
I'm assuming you have to have your release to go into that database,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. I'll find out for next show. I'll make a couple calls and see what the rule is.
Damn. So people will be tampering though. Yo, if I put my name in the database, though, what's it looking like?
There's going on all the time, but it's not necessarily like a coach from a school calling the kid. It's just
that's not how we do it.
A high school coach to chat.
That's what drums for.
Seven on set. Hey, no names. No names, Kev. We don't need that.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, you know how it gets done.
Kev's the white Shapiro, bro.
Tell him why you're mad.
I'm trying. Yeah, let's do that. I heard we got a bunch of people this week. Tell them why you're mad, son.
Tell them why you mad. It's the big three. Roll up, you not rocking with the best. Silk Kevin Newberg. Get it off your chest. No stress. Get it off your chest. Only got 30 seconds. Nothing more, nothing less. It's the big three. Roll up, you not rocking with the best. Silk Kevin Newberg. Get it off your chest. No stress. Get it off your chest. Only got 30 seconds. Nothing more, nothing less. It's the Big Three roll up, Tarif knockout, Dos Equis, tell her why you mad, no stress, you not rocking with the best, Silk, Kevin Newberg, get it off your chest, it's the Big Three, roll up.
Tell them niggas why you mad, son, tell them niggas why you mad, son, tell them why you mad, son.
Yo, it's the Big Three roll up, tell them why you mad, son.
Tell them why you mad,
son. I'm mad. Because Berg always hangs up on anybody that doesn't agree with him, or if it's not a Florida State fan, he gets all kind of bent out of shape, and just kind of puts him down. It just
yeah,
right.
he should.
Yeah, shit on Berg, bro.
I love this segment.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm a fan of Florida football. I'm a big fan. I love Florida. But at the same time, I'm going to call it what it is. Has Florida State owned it the last few years? Yeah, they have. But that's the difference, you know. Like, I feel like if he doesn't, if it's somebody on some opposing team, he's quick to get him off the phone, you know, hang up on him quick.
Yeah, he ain't shit.
Anybody that doesn't agree with him.
Absolutely, bro.
All right, that's his 30 seconds. That's it. get him off. I told you I wouldn't interrupt, but I'm only giving you 30 seconds, bro.
Oh, man.
And just for the record, I disagree with him on all counts. I think
that 30-second thing is in the song, that song that Tarif rapped. So, I mean, you're kind of justified in that. So
Yeah, 30 seconds.
Yeah.
I fucks with it.
Well, hear you out. But
you, tell him why you mad, son. It's a Big Three Roll Up.
Jeez, tell him why you mad,
son. Oh, what's good, Big Three Roll Up? This is Socrates 561.
What's
and
up?
I'm mad at all these people fiddling. What's up?
The crib.
I'm mad at all these people fiddling up. I said I'm mad at all these people fiddling up my time with this bullshit, always arguing, especially about politics, man. We're on Twitter.
Talking shit,
we
bro.
We get a laugh. We get a chill. I'm never going to meet any one of y'all motherfuckers ever in my life. If I say some outlandish, crazy shit, guess what? That's what the fuck I believe. Whatever the fuck you say, all these paragraphs you write, all these stats, shit ain't going to change my mind. It's not. Okay?
I feel you, bro.
Bro, and I'm saying it, and the main reason I'm saying this is, bro, all this child separation, family separation, got the timeline going crazy. Guess what, to people? I'm going to say this to people. Yeah, if somebody says kids should be separated from their parents because they crossed the border, guess what? That person's a piece of shit, and whatever you say, it's not going to change their mind.
I'm with you, Socrates.
Keep it fucking.
You really is Socrates, my nigga.
Yeah, Socrates and from, bro. Hey, and from West Palm. Hey, we got
you. Yeah, you all right with me, bro.
Yeah, you good with me, bro.
Bro.
Hey, we got to leave for a drink, dog.
Nah, you ain't going to meet him in your life. He just told you.
All right, man. Appreciate your call.
You from Royal Palm?
Yeah, bro. Love y'all, boys, man. Keep it up.
All right, dog.
Hey, Royal Palm, that's the crib.
That's the crib. He done came on the show before, Kev.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I've only been sober 90 days. So What's it?
I forgot, bro. My bad.
In the last 90 days?
That was a bit. That was a little. He was fired up, dog.
Yeah, he was mad.
Sure. Immigration shit, bro. Shit sensitive.
Fucking Bethany wanted to go to a goddamn fucking rally, and I'm like, bro, we gotta fucking cheer from the sideline on this. Like, we got kids. What are we gonna do with them?
We gotta go rally, bro.
I watch the kids.
I'd be too tired out the work to go to a rally, dog. Like, what do these people work at, bro? Any kids and shit.
Bro, like, we got to find that shit.
I'm talking to kids and shit, bro. I'm like, man, fuck a rally, bro.
We got to talk about that shit when me and Stale fucking talked about going to Lucian and shit, bro.
No, I'd be too tired for shit like that, bro. By the time I get the kids in bed, dog, I'd be like, you know what? I'm just going to smoke and go to sleep. Yo, Big Three Roll Up, get it off your chest, man. Tell them why you mad.
Yeah, what's going on?
Vibing, dog. You mad?
He sounds mad.
Nah.
Why you mad?
I'm a sack bossing the 247 intern for Knowles
24/7. Oh, that's my intern, bro.
Oh, so I know why you're mad, dog. Go ahead.
You sound like you fucking 43, nigga. How old you?
These boys got questions.
Man, like 13 years old, sound like he's 48 and shit, bro.
I'm 18.
All right, go ahead. Tell us why you're mad.
Just wanted to talk about the Derek Hunter commitment today. And I guess how things are moving forward with both U.S. and FSU after the commitment from Derek Hunter.
What happened?
Boy. What are you saying? I don't know. He's mad because Derek Hunter committed.
I don't think he's mad about it. Oh, shit. All right. You mad because Derek Hunter committed, bro? What the fuck going on?
No, I'm not mad. I'm just saying I just wanted to talk about, you know, where things are going forward for UF after.
Let my intern earn a paycheck.
Oh, you asking what's our recruitment like or some shit? Like, what are you asking, bro?
Y'all missed out on Derek Hunter, and now you're in a frenzy. What are you going to do about Derek Hunter?
We didn't miss out on Derek Hunter, bro. I'm pretty sure Derek Hunter, if you interview or talk to him, he'll tell you that Sal gave him some words that spring that about his game that he didn't like, and then things changed. I mean, a little while after that, you will see, if you pay attention to recruiting, when the Hunter visit stopped, that's when the what's my man name that's committed to Florida State?
Clayshawn Fuller?
Fuller. That's when Fuller started visiting Florida. One thing happened. When my man Hunter stopped coming to Florida, Fuller started coming. So watch that transition right there. So that's where we're going with D-tackle.
Oh, Fuller's – hold on. Fuller's going to play D-tackle at UF?
I don't know, but that's our swap right there.
Because the most recent – I know
we play a 3-4. We don't play a 4-3, so our scheme's a little different than y'all's.
Right. The last I read, I didn't read the exit interviews from UF, but the last time we interviewed him, he said he was trying to get under about 260, 250 and remain at DN. Both these kids are a little out there. Derek Hunter is just kind of crazy on his own right. But for some reason, Fuller is always comparing himself to Hunter and wants to be recognized as a better player.
They're not going to the same school, Bird. I'm going to tell you that right now.
They're not playing the same position either. So I don't really understand.
No, it's something personal there. They're not going to the same school.
Right. I can guarantee it. I don't think they're friends.
Not at all.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. Yeah, if you follow Knowles 24/7, the two guys that I would pencil out of the class would be Quayshawn Fuller and Mike Morris. So it wouldn't surprise me at all to see Fuller bounce to either Miami, Florida, or Georgia.
Yeah.
So,
Berg, are y'all pushing them out?
No, they're not pushing them out. Okay. I wouldn't say that at all.
Somebody clear it up for the people, bro.
No, I mean, I just think it's a situation where he committed to the old staff. He wants to play DN. FSU likes him more at D-tackle. They're willing to wait and see how he develops, like how he puts on weight, how he does his senior year. But if he is to commit
and flip to another school, they're not going to, you know, they're not going to chase him. They're not going to continue to recruit him. Coach Woody has a great relationship with him, has been recruiting him for over 2 years, you know, dating back to his time at USF. So they're going to honor his commitment and they're going to keep him in the class. But if he wants to bounce, you know, that's his decision.
So. Hey, Bird, y'all ever met Zach, bro? This might be a catfish, man. This man sounds like he's 43 years old.
Nah, I met him. Zach, you met me, right?
Yeah, I met him at the spring game. But,
yeah, this nigga sound, bro. He sound like he worked for the city or some shit, bro.
I put some bass in his voice, bro.
It sound like he got on child support, bro.
I've been mentoring. That's what happens.
Bro, hey, Zach, you ain't about to get no hoes, bro.
All right, man. All right,
thanks for the call, hey, Zach.
Make Bird give you a raise, bro. Are you unpaid? Never mind. He's I don't want to. I ain't asking that shit.
He's an intern.
He's an intern.
He'd be an employee if he was paid. He's 18 years old, bro. He don't need a paycheck. Moms is still buying him snacks.
Cheetos.
Damn, not no Black House, bro. Mom ain't buying you snacks at 18, bro. You got to get some of these bills.
Hey, hang up on this guy, man.
Yo, man. Big three, roll up. Tell him why you're mad, son.
Kev just tried to hang up on me, bro. That's why I'm fucking mad.
Yeah, Kev ain't shit, dog. Everybody ain't on this show but me, bro.
Nah, I ain't trying to hang up on you, bro. I don't even know how to hang up.
Bro, I just heard you. Yo, hang up on
me. He said that shit.
No, I did say hang up on him. I did, but I don't know how. So don't blame me. Go ahead, tell us why you're mad, son.
AKA shit on Bird section.
Shit on Bird. Let's go.
Your 30 Berg. Seconds is already going, bro. Get it in while you can. Berg.
I'm
here.
Your fan base? What's up with your fan base, bro?
I don't represent them.
Oh, you're the leader. I thought you were the leader.
No, we've been trying to find a leader for a long time.
It's smooches,
the last one was a bum. The last one's a bum.
Hey, easy.
Put too much pressure on him, bro.
That's on me. If you're gonna take shots at Takeoff, you got to take shots at me.
Hey, bro, Takeoff is that kid from the hood that had handles and shit but ended up on crack and shit. He has so much potential, bro.
I still think there's time to rehab.
Still be air dribbling in the fucking alleys and shit.
I don't think he's ever going to be the face. Hand,
though. You got to cover your chin while you're dribbling. That's different.
What I think is funny is that Berg said, if you're going to take shots at Takeoff, you got to take shots at me. Like anybody has had a problem taking shots at Berg.
Right?
Like, oh, I got to take shots at Berg.
We literally have
too.
A segment called Shit on Berg.
Yeah. No, that's not what it's called. But all right. So are we done here? Am I good?
I got a part two. I got a part two.
Right, oh, he's got part two.
Go ahead, bro.
So between you and Sherm, y'all need to lay off the NWO podcast. They don't need you guys on there to provide no bounce. You literally came on this pod, and now we have a segment called Shit on Berg. And Sherm was on here making picks that were so trash that y'all kicked him off, too. Y'all just need to let them do their thing.
Yeah, they don't need that bounce. Yeah, they don't need no balance over there, bro.
All right. I won't go on the NWO podcast. I've never been asked to go on the NWO podcast.
You can't even say the name of the show, Bird.
Bro, last week you just told Ricky, hey, when am I going to get on there?
And I never got invited. So.
Exactly.
Bird, sing the theme song real quick, bro.
I'm not. My time here.
All right, bro. Hold it down,
I hung
bro.
Up on him, bro. I already hung up on him.
Yo, Big Three, roll up. Tell him why you mad, son.
So,
yo,
what's up, buddy? This is Steve, New York. How's it going?
Chilling, bro. You sound like you on Canal Street, my nigga. What you got? What you selling?
I'm Italian, bro. You know I'm down south now, but I'm still Italian. I'm pissed about two voice, things, bro. I'm pissed about two things. Berg, number one, he's first on my list because I don't know, y'all. Everybody goes home on Berg, I know, but like, I be sending Berg some messages on Twitter, like, you know, some information, like, on the
show. He'd be curvy you?
He curvy, yo. He straight ignores everybody, bro. Like, it's like I'm wasting my fucking time.
That's why, Berg,
I know you a busy dude, bro. You know? Berg's a busy dude.
Yeah, bro, I don't really check my DMs.
I know it was that. I mean, after like six times, I'm asking about the show, shit like that. And, you know. Shit, man. Right, you don't need to know.
It ain't personal. What's number two? What did I do? Number what else did I?
No. The second thing is just going to do with you, bro. I'm actually going to pick up 24/7 right now because that, you know, I used to fuck with Rivals first. Like, I used to do the whole Rivals and that's just thing. But, like, lately, it is a bunch of bitches on that those boards, man. It's like, I'm about to be dumped those Rivals Magic boards. I'm about to go, like, 24/7, like,
bro, they're all cesspools. They're all cesspools.
I'm about to order my backpack, bro. I'm going to do a backpack. Andrew Ivins 24/7, bro. Because Rivals is done.
Kev posts his Duke Juke on there. So go check him out.
Yo,
Duke Juke.
Okay. Yo, Kev, how you feeling, Kev? You doing good?
I'm doing real good, man. Thank
you. Kev, yo, this is Steve, bro. You know what I mean? You're on my charge now, Kev. You know that, right?
Yeah.
You know what
I mean?
All right,
Steve, man. We appreciate it. We got a couple callers lined up, man. Thanks for
Hey, Steve, man. I appreciate it. The mob hiring? Hey, Steve. The mob hiring?
What's up?
The mob hiring?
Who?
Is the mob hiring?
The mob is still, bro. We down here now, bro. 5-6.
Heard it.
All right, man. We'll talk to you later, bro.
I'll just
switch
my resume.
All right, hold down.
Bro, you better ask them DMs when you get found missing, bro.
People are asking a lot of me these days. They're asking me not to hang up on people. They're asking me not to. I don't even know what half these people are mad at. To be honest, he's mad at me because I don't answer my DMs or something.
Oh, it goes down to DMs, Berg.
I can't wait till I do the year-end review show like I did last year, and the whole thing is just people complaining about you. Like, let's do an hour and a half.
I don't even know what there is to complain about when it comes to me. I feel like I'm pretty straightforward, pretty good guy.
That's the sass talking, bro. That's what they're mad about.
You give off these ain't shit vibes, bro.
Yeah. But you like not being shit, I think.
I don't try to be shit. So when people tell me I'm not shit, like, I kind of agree with them. Like, you're right. I'm not shit. So what are we here for?
See, that's
Hey, Bird, what's that crazy shit you came up with the other day with the calendar shit?
Oh, yo. The things that I say in the DMs when I'm on Percocet, let's not bring that to the show.
Yeah, man, it's that type of show, bro. It's a drug show.
Drug cast.
I don't know. It was like in the couple days after my surgery, right? You talking about the Canadian invasion thing?
Yeah.
What the fuck are you talking about?
This man, so Berg's in the DMs. He hit us up like, yo, I got this crazy idea. I think Canada's going to have a fucking war with us.
No, that's not what I said. I just jumped in and I said, would y'all be mad if Canada invaded?
What kind of crazy?
We're just going to send the Bloods to fight Canada, bro.
I don't think we should at all. Like, here's why I said, first of all, I mean, I know we don't want to get political.
We do. If it involves Canada politics, I'm down.
So when I was laid up, I was watching the news, and I was, you know, somewhat compromised from the pills, but...
Compromised.
I started thinking...
That sounded like you got raped or something, bro.
I started seeing the stuff about the kids being detained.
I've never been compromised, bro.
That's and it was like crazy. The same time that the news was hitting about Canada legalizing weed... Canada pissed at Trump about the tariff thing and like trying to do better trade. And I was like, I just started thinking it wouldn't be all that bad if Canada invaded right now. Like, I might roll with it. Like, I'm not saying Canada comes in and like takes over and we're Canadian, but like if the Canadian government came in and like just started running the country, they
like would a substitute teacher.
Yeah. Like a substitute teacher. There you go.
But
that's the way I
think.
I
think if Canada started like marching south, right? Like, they would never make it to Florida, bro. Like, Minnesota and shit would be able to take care of the whole thing.
Come with me. We're gonna be civilized. We're gonna legalize marijuana. We're gonna have free health care for everybody, like there is in Canada. We're not gonna have this ridiculous shit going on at the borders. We're gonna figure that out.
Have you seen the Canadian Football League?
Right. I mean, obviously,
you have to cover hockey.
Compromises made. We'd have to play in a 100-yard field still. None of that bullshit with five downs or whatever they do up there.
We just want free weed and shit, right, Bert?
and free health care.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm with you, bro.
And you know, they're going to be like, hey, look, you know, the president of Canada, whatever his name is, he's going to pinch hit.
Is that the guy that hangs with Drake?
Yeah, we would get Drake, too, by proxy. And he'd be like...
I think if Canada came here, it'd be like the Pusha T Drake shit.
Definitely.
Like the Americans send the Canadian in the hiding.
If they pulled up, bro, they definitely is getting the Pusha T, bro.
I don't know, man. But Canada wouldn't even do it forcefully. I think they'd just be like, "Look, come with us. If you want free weed,
hey, I'm signing up. I'm telling you that if that shit's on the ballot next year, bird.
See, hey, this is what I was talking about. Y'all acted like I was crazy, but this is what.
Well, that shit was crazy, bro. Because it was like a Tuesday morning and shit. We were just not talking about fucking.
You can't fault me for what goes on in the DMs when I'm gone off perks. That was just
me. I'm down for it, bro.
Canada's giving out free weed, or they legalize weed?
No, they gotta keep their bacon too, dog, because I don't want that shit.
Yeah, fuck that.
Okay. I don't even think the Canadian thing, I don't think it's called a president, is it?
What do they have, a king?
Same thing.
I don't know,
all right. Prime Minister? So you thought what I said was outlandish, but Swaggy P, Nick Young of the L.A. Lakers,
plays for the Warriors.
Yeah,
definitely right. Plays for the Warriors, bro.
He just got a championship.
He's got a ring.
Hey, put some motherfucking respect on the champ, bro.
I know. He's a world champion now. Okay, world champion Swaggy P was asked about Canada legalizing marijuana, and he took it a step further. Quote, I want to pass cocaine. Everybody needs to do cocaine. Now, I can tell you one thing about what he said. The only type of person that would say everybody needs to do cocaine is somebody that's currently high on cocaine.
Yeah,
because I agree.
Anybody that's not high, even if you do cocaine, you're not going to say that. You're going to be like, yeah, I don't know if everybody needs to do cocaine.
Right, and probably not someone that's on it currently, because...
That's the only type of person that's going to come out and say some shit like that.
Or someone who's looking for this shit or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we can't. Because every time I've ever been on cocaine, I didn't like that shit. I was like, man, I wish I wasn't on that shit. And then you snorted the rest of the shit in my pocket.
Right.
I wish I would have never done that shit and then just kept doing it.
Right. And then but my point is, when you're done, when you come off of it, you damn sure don't think that everybody needs to do it. You're like,
I don't know, bro. Y'all tell me how does when y'all come off of it?
It makes me nauseous. It's not something that I enjoy. I'll be honest with you. So I'm probably not the best to comment on whether.
I used to like the way that shit smelled.
Yeah, me and TJ the same ones on the show today.
Yeah, I used to like the way cocaine smelled, but.
You like the way it smelled? Oh, God.
I used to.
Oof.
Well, I'm safe, bro.
It's a weed show, bro. Like, what's going on called the Big Three Roll Up, not Snort Up, dog? Let's change the subject, bro.
All right. So anyway.
Cocaine made me nervous, bro.
Onto some kind of depressing news. We saw earlier this week XXXTentacion. That's how you say it. He was murdered in Deerfield Beach.
Yes, sir.
So I know I don't think any of us were his fans at all that, but you know what's your thoughts on this?
I mean, I really don't know what the motive or anything. I don't know if I believe the whole robbery thing, anything like that, but. I don't think anybody 20 years old deserves to die. And, like, some of the, like, responses from it just to me was just wild. I mean, he's 20 years old, dog. Nobody got life figured out at 20. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a kid, to be honest with you. Some of the shit he did wrong, hell yeah. But I don't think he deserves to die, man. He got a lot of wrongs he could right. You know what I'm saying? A lot of life to live. What you think, Bird?
You know, I don't know a whole lot about him, and I saw the reaction initially, like, from a lot of people. There's a wave of kind of, like, negativity towards him, and that just kind of made me think about when I was, 14, 15 years old, when Tupac and Biggie died, and, like, the generation above us, our parents were kind of like, oh, fuck them, you know, Tupac's been arrested, and he's a thug, and this, that, and they didn't understand, like, why we all felt like it was somebody that was taken too soon. So I had a lot of empathy towards the situation. Obviously it's sad, like you said, somebody that's 20 years old. I remember myself at 20 years old. I certainly didn't have things figured out. I wasn't getting in trouble and doing all that, but damn, I didn't even really know who I was at 20. So
it's obviously a sad situation, but you know, coming on, logging on to Twitter, like, you know what you're going to get on Twitter, you know, like, you know, there's going to be jokes, there's going to be this, there's going to be that. Some people actually feel that way, and some people are just doing it for the retweets.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Shit, to me, it's just wild, dog. Like, we it's a crazy time.
But hold on. Before we move off of that subject, I got a question, because when we were on our weekly phone call, we kind of said something, and you're like, yeah, my daughter listens to him. And so I was going to ask you, like, how does that conversation go down? And how old's your daughter?
She's young. She turns 11 Friday.
Right, that's still pretty young. So, like, how do y'all talk about him being murdered?
Yo, when the news broke, I tweeted it too, 103.5, just pronouncing dead. Me and my daughter were sitting in the car. And I had a real life. It's crazy that you asked that, bro. I had a real life conversation with a dog. I told her that she was in shock. She was like, oh my God, he's really dead. And she listened to the news. So I was like, you got to be careful with the energy you put into this world. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think he's a bad person, but a lot of times you put the things you harp on, like, he harped on death. He talked a lot about death and a lot of depressing things. The energy you put out in this world sometimes just comes back to haunt you, man. So,
or it can manifest itself.
Yeah. So that's the kind of talk I had with her. Didn't really get into it. I mean, talk a little tell her that suicide and all that, talk about death, period, and the things she's going to end up seeing as she grow up. Just try to let her know what's going on in this world, man. But she got it.
She understood it all?
Last night. What'd you say?
She understood it? Like, she...
I don't think you feel... I still don't think she... I mean, when Tupac first died, bro, it didn't hit me. Maybe till like a year later, dog. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think for a kid it really hits you, especially if you're really into that music.
Yeah.
It hit me until like a year later when Pop was dead, and I was like, man, he's really gone. You know what I'm saying? Like, this shit over with.
Yeah, I remember the first time I dealt with that was probably Kurt Cobain. That was like, that was a couple of years before Tupac and Biggie. Yeah. But me and my friend Colby were big into Kurt Cobain, and he was learning to play the guitar. He used to play all those songs, and like, I was younger. I was probably about 11 or 12. And then he committed suicide. So that's even heavier because, like,
jeez,
you can't wrap your head around how somebody could do that to themselves at that age. But yeah, I don't know if you ever really understand it, especially at that age.
No, definitely not at that age, man. You just got to – I just always try to stay positive.
Has she asked you any more questions about it since then?
No, we just really, she talked about it with my wife when we got home. We played some of his music. My wife ain't have no idea, like, who he was or anything like that. So my daughter's playing some of the songs for him and whatnot. And we just kind of talked about it as a family, man. That was it. But nothing, she's not, like, harping on anything like that. I think she's
fine. Yeah, and I even think it's sad for his victim. You know, well, he hasn't been convicted of anything. But, like, even for them, like, it's sad because they don't really get justice. Like, they kind of got a lot of unanswered questions too, even if he's, you know, he never went to trial. So they don't know if he was ever guilty or innocent. Yeah. So even the victims or the potential victims of what he did, it sucks for them too. So that it was pretty bad, man. That sucks.
Yeah. I mean, all that shit, bro. That shit is wild. All of it.
Probably why Nick Young thinks we should legalize cocaine.
It's gotta
cocaine's
be
not gonna fix that shit though, bro.
Cocaine is not the answer to that problem.
That shit's gonna escalate everything. It just speeds everything up, bro.
Yeah.
Oh shit.
That was good though.
Yeah. So anyway, y'all, are we good with the show? We want to take any more callers? It's been a good show.
We're good.
I'm good.
What'd you learn, Kev?
What did I learn? I learned that Javon Kearse is way more mature at 17 or 18 when he took his Miami visit than I'd ever be. That he said that he just knew he wouldn't be able to play there because of the party scene.
Yeah, that was incredible.
What did you learn, Berg? Oh, Berg!
I learned that he was a silent commit to Notre Dame. I don't think that's ever been reported. I think that's breaking news here on the Big Three Roll-Up. That Javon
Kearse, I've never heard that shit before in my life,
was committed to Notre Dame and actually flipped to Florida.
We should get Lou Holtz on to ask him about it.
If he's still bitter about it.
We could pull that shit off.
I couldn't see Javon Kearse playing for Notre Dame. That was shocking to me that he actually committed to Notre Dame.
Yeah, he was talking about his country ass up there, bro. Nah, them fucking, they'd hate his motherfucking ass up there.
Yeah. What'd you learn, Silk?
I learned that after the national championship, Javon Curtis and Tallahassee taking y'all hoes, bro. In the moon.
He basically said they were all up there, and that's been something that's going on for years. Well, that just goes to show you how much is out there.
Yeah, when Clint Portis was on, he was talking about fucking being in the NFL, going to Tallahassee and shit.
Yeah, and I see, like, bro. I'm, like, still like, Instagram friends with Ryan Davis. He was the wide receiver for Team Tampa that signed with Auburn. And, like, I see those boys going to Tallahassee all the time, too.
That's dope.
It's funny. Everybody flocks to Tallahassee in the offseason.
Yeah.
Migration. All right, man. Well, that was a good show.
Bird, who taking away with something? You got taken away with a song, Bird.
Oh, it's my week?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's. Let's get nostalgic. Let's go with some Kid Cudi. Mojo So Dope. Kid Cudi.
That's right, baby.
You know, it's gonna take TJ like 3 hours to find that shit. You gotta spell it out for him and shit.
TJ's gonna be like, Mojo So Dope.
Can you text me that? Just go to YouTube. Find the whole dang link. Like, don't even text me the title. Find the actual video.
I miss it putting a whole dang link.
All right, we out here, baby.
We out here. We'll put it again. I loved you so.
Hold on, baby.
Didn't I in the skinny jean wear a fro for days in the OAA? So low, most fools couldn't price me. Silent stunt with a blunt full of PE. And I guess you know me, been in NY so long. Gotta trust they family, especially Brooklyn. Shout out to the Mahdi's. My bloodline runs deep, nights I don't sleep. Figure it's my pops keeping me away. Help me keep my mind in the clouds for reality. These motherfuckers can't fathom the wizardry. Slow mo brain ass backwards cowards. Take a shower, your attitude stinks. Wanna know what I think? Hey, my mojo so dope, bitch. My mojo so dope.
Yeah, we live it, live it. Yeah, we own it, own it. Give a fuck about your lifestyle. Give a fuck about a motherfucker lifestyle. Cause nigga, we live this shit. Give a fuck about your lifestyle. Give a fuck about a motherfucker lifestyle. Cause
hey, I live through words, not metaphors, so I pass to be the rest of the freshmen. Played for Tar Tar, off in the fade, till I came like Bogart, said true things. A whole new legion of some niggas, aiming high past the eye, this slang, and praise Allah for keeping me away, man. None of my niggas fell victim to the dope game. Some things will never be the same. I could tell my brother something for some motivation to get him out that gutter. He's leaving behind a family and a mother. Damn, you must understand what I speak about this song. It's how I really am. Yeah, this is how I really think. You can see what I see. Yes, I really blink. Yes, I really drink. I really do rage. My demons at the cage by most of the day. Before I became the age to even rage, I was drowning my sorrows with some OE, nigga. Hey. We live this shit.
Oh, well, Mr. Cool, you work your magic. Ride that magic carpet. Ride the magic carpet to the marijuana ganja man and then return.
Mr. Cool. I guess that's what they say.
You said it.
You said it.
Double OD. Good.
I'm just living.
Hey, my mojo's so dope. Mojo so dope.
Yeah, we live it, live it. Yeah, we own it, own it. Give a fuck about your lifestyle. Give a fuck about a motherfucker lifestyle. Cause nigga, we live this shit. Give a fuck about your lifestyle. Give a fuck about a motherfucker lifestyle. Cause nigga,
yeah.